WTF, Carmen Winslow. Hey, it's a flashback, man. It's a flashback.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for August 7th, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We had a lot of confusion. In my contract with the with my syndicate, who distributes my comic strip, I get 4 weeks of vacation. So I used a week of it so I could take a vacation. And I let them, the good people at Andrews and McMeel, choose the week, and they chose a week from 2005.
Right.
The strip started in 2004, so the strip was only a year old, and we are getting a lot. We got a lot of comments on how it looked totally different, and the storyline is different, and the characters look very different.
No one complained about the storyline. The storyline's adorable. Talked about that, yeah, but they were more concerned about what the heck happened. What are these? Who are these people?
And the storyline is that Winslow falls in love with a tortoise,
right? Shelley.
Shelley, which I thought was kind of cleverish.
It was cute. They had some.
So, what comments are we getting?
Well, a lot of people just lots of discussion as to why it looks so different. Some people thought, is there a new artist? Didn't realize it was a flashback and thought maybe something changed.
Yeah, you know, next time we do this, I probably I keep meaning to do this every time. I'll just put a little strip above it that says, you know, flashback. You know, flashback. Because yeah, we get these kind of reactions. Like what? Give me just a sampling of some of the.
Well,
some of the comments.
Darson 54 said, is this before Stantis hired someone to draw for him? And Winslow, forget it, dude. Just forget it. Night Gaunt 49 says, some artists change styles over a period of time. To which Coffee Cup responds, true. Look at the old Dilberts and old Simpsons.
Yeah.
Ignat says, in the last 2 days, I've discovered Scott Stantis uses another artist. And Finished Business says, these are reruns from 12 years ago. Every cartoonist style changes after time.
Well, they are all right.
Yes.
Here's what I mean. I started the strip because, I thought there's a need for that kind of a strip. But the second part, way I drew it was I wanted to draw it and have some kind of immediacy to it. Unfortunately, my immediacy looks like a 7-year-old grabbed a pen and drew on the wall. Sometimes, it wasn't clean. It wasn't what it looks like now. The style did progress. I mean, you can look at Peanuts. You look at virtually every comic strip its first year. One of the more jarring ones of all is Garfield.
Right.
That was almost a complete sentence. Sorry about the stumbling there. Garfield looks totally different within the first 3 years. And what happened is what happened to me. Now, I haven't mentioned this. It's not a huge secret or anything. But at the time, and this sounds, this is a point. Stay with me, folks. I was being interviewed by Mike Cavanaugh from the Washington Post. And he asked a question I hadn't been asked before. At the time, he said, how many cartoons a year are you drawing? Because I was drawing 5 a week for the Birmingham News. I was drawing 1 a week for the USA Today. I was drawing 6 dailies and a Sunday for Prickly City. And I did the math. And given the other work I'd done that year, it came to somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,700 drawings.
And you started having some problems with your hands.
Some very serious carpal, all the carpals were inflamed and it hurt.
Unrolled.
And it hurt. And poor Janine had to hear me whine, and I iced my hand all the time, did all the stuff you're supposed to be doing. I was loath to have surgery because, as we in my family joke, my right hand is my money hand because that's what I draw with. So I wasn't going to do that. So the options were keep doing it and just deal with the pain or hire someone to draw it.
Which lots of cartoonists have done. Always.
Almost all of them
have.
I mean, Charles Schulz is one of the rare exceptions that he has not hired someone. He never let anyone do anything on the other. Penciling, inking, lettering. And lettering, by the way, is a misery. I mean, it's just really unfun. So I computerized that, and now the drawings are done by Eric Alley is his name. And Eric is a terrific cartoonist. He works for Illinois Policy Institute, if you want to see his political work. And, you know, he saved my hand. It actually has gotten a whole lot better.
And he actually started doing Sundays for a while.
Right.
You kind of just had him do because you thought that would be enough. And then when you got the job here at the Chicago Tribune, it was just new job, too much work. So you had him do it. But you didn't. He didn't just come in and start.
You sound apologetic. I'm not apologetic.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that.
You sound defensive.
I think people think that it only changed because Eric took it over.
No.
But it started evolving, and you had Eric copy your style at that time. And then, of course, now that he's doing it and he's an artist as well, it kind of changed a little from when he started.
And when I hired him, that was actually, he and I had a long discussion about this. And the discussion was you carp my style for at least 6 months to a year. And then you start evolving it into a style that you're more comfortable with. And it doesn't seem forced. So if you look around, September of 2009 is when he really kind of stepped up. And you can that's when you start to see it. It looks he actually did a heck of a great job. I hope that serves to explain what happened here and why it looks so different. It's kind of fun to see the throwback stuff, but it is jarring. And so the next time, I'm definitely going to have the Syndicate throw on something above it saying this is a throwback. The second storyline, which I'm really excited about. I'm stoked. I'm a fanboy. I'm a dork. No, I make no apologies for that either. But I'm a total space geek. I've been in love with the space program and space exploration since I was a kid. Interesting story. My mom passed away many, many years ago. And what was it, 1984? And going through her stuff, one of the things she had kept was a scrapbook I kept as a kid. And I cut out every story on the space program, starting with about the late Gemini program because, well, I'm old. And that's how old I am. So I've always had this. Well, the New Horizons mission in 2015, they had closest approach, and that mission, the incredible, incredible images it sent back of Pluto were just beautiful. And in fact, someone I think who's not really directly related to or works with NASA, JPL, or with the team at all created a video of flying over the surface, and it is magnificent. And what a wonderful gift. And so Alan Stern has since become a friend. He was the principal investigator. And they're going on now to go to what's called MU69, which is a Kuiper Belt object. And we had some confusion about this a couple of weeks ago. What's the Kuiper Belt? And it's a bunch of stuff that surrounds our solar system. That's Pluto's part of it, but there's all these objects in there, building blocks of what created us in this solar system. And they're going towards MU69 now. And it's an object that they didn't even know existed when they launched it. I mean, think about how magnificent that is. And it turns out recently, I'm geeking out. Janine, you can stop me any moment, but I'm geeking out. They're having an occultation test. So that is MU69 is passing in front of a star and they can determine its gravity, its size, and so on. And the second occultation looks like it could be two objects, not just one.
Mentioned that.
So I'm actually doing a series in the Sunday cartoon about the close approach. I want to kind of start now getting people's interest because on June 1st, 2019 is when they have closest approach. And I think it's going to be, again, reveal something we've never seen before, something awe-inspiring and something, you know, that makes us human as we explore and we see new things and we go, whoa. So what have people said about this?
Well, Kevin, 78661, says a lot about human ingenuity. That and Voyager 1 and 2 and Cassini and all the Mars robots, etc., etc. Humans can be smart sometimes, which many people replied to him.
What about Trump?
And then, of course, other people like that. It kind of devolved into that type of conversation.
Well, here's something that was very, very distressing for me is they have, you know, they always have surveys about what should the federal government be spending money on. And defense was number one. We should have, big guns. And but last on the list was space exploration. Last on the list, which is nuts. It inspires us and moves us forward. And by the way, people, space is next, just so you know.
And Coffee Cup said, okay, why did we waste perfectly good money on this nonsense that could have gone more properly, have been used to give billionaires another tax break? Answer that one, Stantis, you liberal.
I love that one. I'll write back to them and thank them for that comment. The New Horizons mission was designed was less than $1 billion, which is, I know to you and me and to everyone listening, $1 billion is a lot of money. But in terms of a space probe, it's not much at all. And they did it on the cheap and they had magnificent results. And again, they increase our knowledge, which is important. They tell us where we've come from and maybe where we're going. And exploration is what we do. And if we deny that as humans, then we cease to be human.
And Joe wants to know, when is Prickly City going to show Linda Spilker on Cassini Saturn some love?
Ooh, that's a great New Horizons started because it was a 10-year mission to Pluto. And Alan worked very hard to have women on the team. And there are more and more. And if you notice this, there are more and more women involved in these projects, and that's fantastic. I mean, space for some reason became the province of men, which was weird. And since that's melted away, but he's absolutely right. You know what? I should keep that out for
it's
me.
A I'm girl, going to Joe. Female Joe. J O.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then she is absolutely correct.
Right.
And, yeah, please keep that out. I will do something. I will use that. So that about wraps it up for this week's edition of the Prickly Sea Podcast. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you can just go to gocomics.com/PricklyCity or go to scottstantis.com. And if you want to, leave a comment because we might read it on here on the podcast. Or if you want to contact us directly and start a dialogue, I am more than happy to talk to you. I'd love to hear from you. And you can do that by writing to pricklycity@gmail.com. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.